Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We're going to go right into a conference call, and it's important for us to hear from Israel. That's why we want to be able to hear what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is saying. We also want to hear what the ambassador, the Israeli ambassador, Ron Dermer, just stated on a conference call, thanks to CUFI, Christians United for Israel, which we stand with CUFI. Mm-hmm. And I wanted you to hear, and this whole call is going to be available on the VFN Torch. We're just going to play you the ambassador's part so you can hear what he's saying and get a good perspective. Understand, this is straight from Israel, the ambassador, Israeli ambassador. Listen up.
Let me begin by just giving you a brief update. We've had over the last 3 days, 400 rockets that have been fired at Israel. We've had about 6 million people who have had to rush to bomb shelters. That's about three-quarters of our population. In American terms, it would be like over 200 million Americans who over the course of two or three days had to rush into bomb shelters, just so that you understand the scale of what we've been dealing with. The goals of our operation, of this particular military operation, is to end the rocket attacks on Israel and to restore quiet. I mean, something that every nation would demand. I can only imagine if over 200 million Americans were sitting in bomb shelters, what they would want their government and their military to do to protect them. And so we have a clear goal, this operation, to end these rocket attacks and to restore quiet, not just for a day, not just for a week, but for a very long period of time, something the people of Israel have not enjoyed for a long time. Now, before this operation was launched, the Prime Minister Netanyahu, did everything he could to try to get the other side to stand down and to end the rocket attacks. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, and Hamas escalated the situation. So now we are where we are, and the Prime Minister has to take the necessary measures in order to protect our population. We have mobilized, he's gotten authorization, I should say, from Israel's security cabinet to mobilize 40,000 reservists. 20,000 have been called up because the Prime Minister needs at his disposal all the options that he could employ in order to end these rocket attacks and restore quiet to Israel. What is happening right now is most of the rockets that have been fired at us Israel's been protected by Iron Dome. An Iron Dome is an anti-missile system. Many of you may know about it. It's an Israeli-U.S. partnership where it's Israeli technology, and it's been financed by the U.S., and it's been an unbelievable success at knocking down a lot of these rockets that are fired at Israel. Without it, we'd have many, many more civilian casualties in Israel. And what Iron Dome does is it immediately pinpoints the trajectory of the incoming rocket, where it's going to hit. If it's going to hit in an open area, it does not engage it. If it's heading for a populated area, a built-up area, then it does engage it, and it fires a missile basically at the incoming missile to knock it down. And we've had a very high percentage of the incoming missiles knocked out of the sky. It's truly amazing. In the last time we had a confrontation with Hamas about a year and a half ago, we knocked out about 85% of the incoming rockets, and I can tell you that it looks like the percentage of interceptions that we've had of incoming rockets have been even greater. And the reason why that's so important is that it not only protects the civilian population in Israel, which would make it important enough and provide security for the people of Israel, it also gives the Prime Minister and Israel's military the time and space it needs to prosecute the war against the Hamas, which is a surgical war, in a calibrated way with fewer casualties, also among the Palestinians. And that's why Iron Dome is so important, and that's why we're so appreciative that this has been, that we've received such strong support from the American leadership for Iron Dome. What I do want to tell your listeners today, Pastor Hagee, what's, I think it's very important to restore some moral clarity to the debate, because I've gone around and I've done a lot of interviews in the last four days, and the question people ask me all the time is, what about the civilian casualties? What about the innocents who are being killed in Gaza, and does this justify Israel's operation? And I think it's very important to draw a clear moral distinction between Israel, a democratic society that is fighting against terrorism, and Hamas, a terror organization who is deliberately targeting our civilians. For Hamas, the more civilians who are killed, the more innocents in Israel who are killed, the greater the success of their operation from their point of view. Where in Israel, it's just the opposite. Every time an innocent civilian is killed, that's an operational failure in Israel. And the more innocents who are killed, the greater the failure of the operation. But in Hamas, we're dealing with an enemy that does not care about Israeli lives, but also does not care about Palestinian lives. And they have placed their missile batteries next to schools, next to hospitals, next to mosques, in private houses, and they use their people as human shields. In fact, the Interior Ministry of Hamas, just today, a few hours ago, called on the residents of Gaza to ignore the warnings of our defense forces, the Israeli defense forces, the warnings that we give the Palestinians to get out of harm's way. Because what we do is we drop flyers, we make phone calls, we send text messages, and we actually call people to get them out of areas that are going to be targeted because we want to ensure that there's not civilian casualties. And I don't think Pastor Hege, and maybe somebody on this line, you've got a few thousand people, and they can correct me if I'm wrong. I am not aware of a single military in the history of the world that has taken a greater action to keep the civilians of the other side out of harm's way. And that's what Israel is doing. And I think when you're looking at what's happening in Israel, I think you should always think about it in terms of how would America react to a similar threat? Imagine, as I said before, what would happen if two-thirds of Americans were in bomb shelters from terror attacks, from contiguous territory, from a terror organization. What would the American people expect their government and their military to do? And then I think you'll see that Israel has been incredibly restrained in the use of force. Just today, the president of the Palestinian Authority, President Abbas, he's not the head of Hamas, that's a terror organization, but unfortunately, President Abbas has forged an alliance with Hamas, a terror organization. Well, President Abbas today, who the world calls a peacemaker, he accused Israel of genocide. He actually said the word genocide. Now, there have been genocides in the world. There was a genocide in Rwanda. There was a genocide in Sudan. But for the leader of the Palestinians to accuse Israel, the Jewish people, of a genocide based on what is happening now in Gaza, based on Israel taking these actions, based on fewer than 100 casualties on the other side and everything we are doing to put their innocence out of harm's way, for him to accuse Israel of perpetrating a genocide is an absolute outrage, We're people who've experienced genocide. In May 1944, just to give you a sense of perspective, in May 1944, 10,000 people, 10,000 Jews were being exterminated every single day from the Germans. That's a genocide. And I think it's an outrage what the leader of the Palestinian Authority said, and I think the world should hold him accountable for that statement, to demand that he retract that statement. And I think the leaders, the President of the United States, the leaders of European countries who have supported in a strong way Israel's right to defend itself, and we appreciate that support. We've received it. There were statements made from the White House about Israel's right to defend itself. There were statements that were made by Chancellor Merkel of Germany, by President Hollande of France, by Prime Minister Cameron of Great Britain, by Prime Minister Harper of Canada. There were strong statements in support of Israel's right to defend itself, but what should happen now is a clear demand should be made of President Abbas that he needs to end this pact that he has made with Hamas, that it's unacceptable for him at a time when a terror organization is firing rockets at Israel's cities, it's unacceptable for him to be in this alliance with this terror organization, and he should end that alliance immediately. And he should finally lead his people to peace. The final thing I will say, Pastor Hege, is that we have, in the last few weeks, we've had a couple of really horrific incidents in Israel. I'm sure many of your listeners know about the three Israeli teenagers who were kidnapped and murdered by Hamas. And then a few days later, we had a kidnapping and murder of a Palestinian boy from Jerusalem, and another horrific crime. And many people are trying to make the argument that there is a moral equivalence between the two sides because of these actions. But the fact is it's so clear the difference between Israel and between Palestinian society based on the reaction that occurred to those actions. Because in Israel, when this Palestinian boy, when we found out that he was kidnapped and killed by Jews, we were embarrassed. We were ashamed of that action. It is so fundamentally opposed to our values. We were disgusted that that could happen from a Jew in Israel. And our political leadership across the board, condemned the killing. And we acted very quickly to bring the perpetrators of this heinous crime to justice. But on the Palestinian side, what you saw in the face of the kidnappings and murders of the Israeli teenagers was something very different. Because in that society, unfortunately, terrorists are hailed as heroes. And there are public squares that are named after mass murderers. And little children learn to emulate, are taught to emulate as role models these terrorists. And unfortunately, that's a major difference between our societies. And I hope one day that we'll be able to have peace in the Holy Land between Israel and Palestinians. But the best way that we can turn the corner is for the Palestinians to finally turn their back on terrorism and turn towards a peace with Israel and to accept the permanence and legitimacy of a Jewish state in their ancestral homeland. And I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, John Hagee, founder of Christians United for Israel, CUFI, and Ambassador Ron Dermer, Israeli ambassador, firsthand. And that's what we need to do. And that's, I encourage you to begin to go to VFNTV.com and begin to share these things on your social media, begin to share them with your friends, because people need perspective. We need to really understand the truth. And the truth is, who's kinder than the Jews and amazingly in Israel? I mean, they are kind, and we've been showing over and over again, we'll be showing hopefully in our next program coming up, make sure you catch it, talking about the medical technology, the wisdom God has given them, and how they're using that medical technology to help the very ones who try to destroy them.
Yeah.
And he talked about the knock, you know, what country in the world, and he says he doesn't know if anyone has ever done this, that it sends messages, flyers, texting, calls, and says, listen, we're going to be dealing with this particular missile firing zone that's right by your home. They put it by your home. And go ahead and leave there. I think there's 17,000 refugees right now, or people that left their homes that responded to that, that is alive today. So when people talk to you, by the way, and you hear the news say, there's 17,000 people gathered in the northern parts of Gaza Strip that are not in their homes. It's like, because Israel called them up and say, hey, you need to leave your home because they're firing missiles right next to you.
They're alive.
Yeah, they're alive. And that's, but they're there. Everybody that's there, based on my understanding and the reports and CBN and even CNN, Wolf Blitzer's there. You know, I saw him on his hands and knees this weekend.
Did he?
Yeah, he sure was. And I think, I'm glad that Wolf Blitzer's there. I'm glad that, you know, all the reporters are there letting us know firsthand what's taking place. And it's for us to look at that and draw our conclusion based on the truth. But hopefully with VFN TV, you're seeing, you know, a biblical perspective, and that's what we want to be able to do. And so the question we have to ask ourselves, you know, what is this huge escalation? And people will go back and go, well, this has always been that way. First of all, remember this. It wasn't, it was like 2,000 years prior to 1948 that these weren't there. So you can't say it's always been like that. Secondly, you got to say, okay, what's been happening since 1948? Well, things have happened. Yeah, things have happened with this war and the Yom Kippur War and the 7-day war, the 6-day war, whatever it is. But this is a different day. This is a different day because originally America stood with Israel. We're the ones that signed the papers and said, you know, Harry Truman, President Harry Truman, who learned at his mother's knee, he said, those who bless Israel, will they themselves be blessed.
Right.
And he signed the paper and he said the papers saying they could become a nation. And he said, and the force of America, the weight of America is behind this signature. So that is a different paradigm than today. What we're seeing today is our leader, our present leader, President Barack Obama, who is running right now a 72% approval rating, according to CBN, Pat Robinson on a Gallup poll, he says, approval for Muslims right now. And it's like, well, why would they be so, I mean, if you're against Israel, you know, so they even, and the Muslims agree with what we're perceiving. It's like, this is not a good thing. And so We have a world that's been fundamentally an uprising in the world, if you would. You have the Arab Springs that have taken place. You see the restructuring. You see kings come down. You see leaders come down. You see our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, former, who traveled more than anybody else, whose right-hand financial committee leader, according to reports, is George Soros. You know, and he said that we need a world without the borders. You know, we need the border without the borders. That we need the walls need to come down. We need to gently ease her down. And the world as we know it is being organized, it appears. And there's a goal to just kind of restructure and format the world. And whoever controls the money controls the vision. And George Soros has made his money. And if you look at the Rules for Radicals, if you look at the things that are taking place, if you go back and watch and listen to the series about, you know, organizers of the night versus organizer of the day, you'll get this great insight about not only just the Rules for Radicals, 13 rules, but then you get the light perspective. What does God say about that and how we should be able to react? Because in that, it talks about how George Soros and Hillary Clinton are, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, are together in this. That Chelsea got married at his daughter's house. That all of a sudden, after we reported that, then he got appointed over her financial committee or whatever, the money committee for her exploratory, whatever it's called, how the politics work. But this man has taken down, he's been reported and given credit for single-handedly taking down entire nation's economy and making money off of it.
Wow.
Well, there's no secrets. People are saying this stuff. People just don't believe it. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to be that time, those people that go up until the last moment, we go, I didn't believe it, but it happened. Right. We can actually intercede, intervene, pray, and God can stop these intended plan that's trying to come against even the world, but definitely Israel and America. So you want to ask yourself this question. This is a simple question. I mean, we all want to ask it. Is really, I mean, I think about this. Israel's going about their normal life. The freest Muslims and the freest Arabs in the Middle East live in Israel. So everybody's free, including the Muslims and the Arabs, and freer than any Muslim nation, reportedly. And definitely women.
Yeah.
And they're helping so many folks, as you've been watching us share about how they're, we're trying to tangibly help us all understand. They are amazingly good to folks.
Mm-hmm.
But after you go through things like the Holocaust and these different, you understand over a period of time, I would guess that you got to be strong and you got to be kind. You got to do both those things. And that's how America used to, I don't know which particular president was, but he says, speak softly and carry a big stick. Hmm. Be kind, but don't give up your strength. Hmm. And we're doing the opposite today. And so you ask yourself, if you're listening, you've been listening to definitely VFN TV and Data Radio program, that Israel's, they did not provoke anybody. They're having missiles fired into their houses. You saw the lady that was still have shrapnel in her brain today that lives in Sderot down in southern Israel, and the child that was thrown across the room and people running for cover. 80%. I mean, if you compared the population, like Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said to America, it's like everybody who lives from Colorado to the East Coast is having to run to bomb shelters continually. And no nation would put up with that. Of course, the people would just say, we're going to need to deal with this issue. And so then the question you ask yourself, well, why isn't the whole world in an uproar?
Right.
Why aren't folks going, okay, little spot on the dot, Palestinians, this is you merged with Hamas, you merged with a terrorist organization. I just heard reports of former congressman and general out of Florida. He's no longer there. I can't think of his name right now. But he says that is it Fatah, the political leadership group and president over
West.
Yes, General West, former Congressman West. He said that they were originally a terrorist group. Is what he said on Fox News last night. And he says so they've kind of supposedly changed their ways. He didn't say that part, but you think they maybe would, since we're dealing with them, because we're not allowed to deal with terrorists. But next thing you know, they merge with Hamas. But if that's their roots and that's who they are, it wasn't a big deal to merge with Hamas and doing that. So the question you have to ask yourself is, really? I mean, why? And this is very important. because we are entering into times to test men's souls. This is different than it's ever been before. This day is different. We've had people going around organizing nations. We're seeing nations crumble because of economies. This kind of, it's like easing down this economy, as George Soros said, easing down the Central American economy. What's happening? People are, crime is rising and people are running north into America. You're watching where they're actually entertaining the Amero, which is where, you know, Canada, America, Central America, and South America kind of have one currency. They're beginning to talk about that. And that's what John Paul Jackson talked about. And we're going to be talking about more in the next program. You got to catch it, that the military is rapidly downsizing. Guys that are fighting for us as we speak right now in Afghanistan are getting their pink slips.
Hmm.
I mean, if you're going to let a soldier go while he's fighting in a battle, I mean, he needs as much courage, or she needs as much encouragement as they can get.
Right.
And you're telling him, thanks for your service, but when you get back, you're fired. You're no longer going to be on the payroll anymore. Wow. I mean, it's hard enough to transition after 20 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But that is what John Paul Jackson prophesied in 2008. Because of our financial crisis, he said the military soldiers will be cut back. Well, the thing about it is, so you're looking at the theory spoken of that you can see on the VFN Torch, I think it was a whole interview that we have with George Soros over in Europe, when he's talking about you have to ease down the economy. So you're seeing America eased down real slowly, and you're seeing our strength. When you bring our soldiers back and then you dishonor them, and we'll also be talking about Sergeant Andrew Tamarisi. We'll be talking about him, what we're doing to him and dishonoring him. We'll be talking more about in the next program. But this is happening everywhere. And it's like, all of a sudden, who's going to want to stand up for the country? Who's going to want to fight for? I mean, if Washington is not defending the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic, why would we ask our fellow citizens? Why would they be strong and courageous enough to say, I'll fight for the Constitution. I'll defend America from foreign enemies. And it's like, we need a paradigm shift. And it will come with the Third Great Awakening. So the question we ask ourselves, why do protesters who come up and stand up for Israel in America, almost 2,000 of them in California just this week, stood up and said, we stand with Israel. All of a sudden, Palestinian empathizers show up with a Palestinian flag, an Iranian flag, I believe it is, but Iranian flag, red, green, and white. And they came in and began to just assault these people who just said, we need to stand with Israel.
Mm.
And then the federal officer, and this is reports from The Blaze, the federal officer, this has happened in your country, federal officer, these guys started to take off who came to assault these citizens who were just standing up for Israel. And the federal officer, the first thing he did was pull his gun and fire a shot, a warning shot, to stop these men. I believe it was four of them. And every one of them, we'll make this report available to you. We're going to have enough time to cover the details. But that's happening in your own country, standing up for Israel. But understand this. If you would have been watching all the way from the Democratic National Convention, when you saw they try to push God out, and a Methodist pastor stood up and said, I don't think so. And he brought him back. But even though they brought him back against the will of God and the platform of the Democratic National Convention, the platform. And when they did bring him back and they voted on him, you saw a picture there. But you saw people who are 72-73% approval rating of the president now booing the fact that they brought God back in the platform. And you got to see this, because they were booing because they voted Israel back in as the capital, Jerusalem back in as the capital of Israel, and God back in the platform. It's been a systematic unfolding of the plans with those who are being organized by darkness. But it's time for those who are organized by the light, by Jesus Christ, for us to stand up. He says, I called you and commanded you to be the light of the world. Let your light shine and let people see your deeds, so people will give praise to God. Understand, this is our day to shine. This is our day to release all truth and say, you know what? We stand with Israel. But not only that, we stand with God's original intent over this nation. His original intent of this nation was to be a God-fearing country, a country that could survive because it made God over this nation, understanding all of our rights come from God. In the Judeo-Christian values that our laws and everything is written about, we got to go back to our original intent. We got to thank men like Alan Barton with Wall Builders and others that are standing up and saying, you know what? You're right. We're going to go back. Dear God, and that's called repentance. We go back to the original intent God has for us personally. We go back to the original intent in our nation. That's called America is repenting and going back to what God intended. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.